By the grace of God, I will be teaching on restitution of relationships. Restitution of what? Relationships. One more time. Restitution of relationships. We will take our text from the book of Luke. We will look into the book of Luke, chapter 15. Do you have Luke in your Bible? Okay, let's go there. Luke 15. Luke 15, beginning from verse 11. Look into Luke 15, 11 to 21. If you are there, let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I read from here. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fell it to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the hawks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have enough bread to spare and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21 and the last verse. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Shall we turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5? The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Second Corinthians 5, are we there? 17 and 18. We will read from King James and then later from Amplified Version. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, media, can we see the Amplified Version? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous immoral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. But all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to him. I like that last phrase. So that by our example we may what? We may bring others to him. One more time. So that by our example we may bring others to him. So that by our example we may bring others to him. So that by our example we may bring others to him. You can see what God wants us to do. Our lives to be what? Exemplary. And through that example, we bring others to him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, what is restitution? Our pastors have given us various definitions, but simply put, restitution is returning back what was wrongly taken or stolen to the owner. Returning back what was wrongly taken or stolen from another. Now, restitution could be a restoration of what has been damaged or what has been wrongly acquired. You could see that in Exodus 22, verse 1 to 12. In the first service, we read that passage of how things that are wrongly acquired ought to be returned. Now, restitution is necessary over what does not give us a clear conscience before God and man. There are certain things we do that our conscience begins to hurt us. And whatever doesn't give us a clear conscience before God often requires restitution. You see that in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, when Zacchaeus told the Lord Jesus that if he had falsely accused someone or caused someone to think of someone wrongfully anything, that he restores to such a person four times. In fact, the NIV version says, if I have cheated anybody of anything, he says, he restitutes. When you cheat and you have a conscience, the conscience tells you, I know that was not right. You go to a filling station, you ask for fuel for 5,000. The young man puts 5,005. You saw the meter. You give him 5,000, he takes it. As you drive away, if there is a conscience in you, it begins to prick you. But that was 5,005. That was 5,005. I didn't give him the right money. Why? Because God has put a conscience in us. There are several levels, several types of restitution. But I want to give the example of about four types of restitution. The first is of stolen items, which our mommy spoke about in the morning. Restitution of stolen items, whether of goods or whether money. I remember when I did my youth service, I gave the example some Sundays ago. During my youth service, that was about 38 years ago. Government gave us a guest house. In those days, government could be very kind to youth coppers. They gave us a guest house. Now, the guest house was carpeted, was rugged. All the living rooms and the bedrooms were all rugged. We stayed there. After the NYC, as we finished, three of us stayed there. My friend removed the carpet from his bedroom. So when we packed our things to leave, I saw him with carpet. I said, which one is this? He said, this is National Cake. Ah. He asked me whether I wasn't taking mine. I said, eh. He said, I should take his National Cake. I too entered my bedroom, rolled my carpet. He took his home. I took mine to home. I came home with a National Cake. Laid it in my living room. Used it for years. I felt very good. Then suddenly, I became born again. When I became born again, God continued to remind me that you stole a carpet. I said, eh. He said, you have to restitute, take it back. Now, where I served with where I work, which is Lagos, is a very far distance. There is no air link connection by air. So I said, but Lord, you know, this is very far from Lagos. I kept giving excuses. Then one day we traveled home. Because of the size of my family, one car cannot take us on the journey. So we used two cars, two vehicles. While we finished the Christmas break, we were coming back. One of the cars developed a fault. They did everything to fix the car. The car couldn't move. And this happened in the town where I did the NYSC. So we couldn't fix the car. As if that was not bad enough, our youngest child, which was a girl, became terribly ill in the course of the journey. So we were forced to look for a hotel and spend the night. So we moved to the hotel. Over the night, I was praying, Lord, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? And the Lord reminded me, there is a restitution you need to make here. So early in the morning, before my wife could wake up, took my shower and left the house without telling her. Went to the bank, went and bought a whole roll of a rug. Bought a size that was many times the little portion I took. And then went to the ministry where I served. Now, as I was going, the devil kept frightening me. He said, you call yourself pastor. Today they will arrest you. They will arrest you today. Unfortunately for me, the ministry where I served, they have given a portion of it now for a ring tribunal. In those days, it wasn't so. So ring tribunal now, there were a lot of policemen outside. Lord have mercy. So here was I with my big roll of carpet with my driver. We had arrived, see policemen all over the place. He said, I told you. I told you, today they will arrest you. I sat back in the car again. Lord, is this what is going to happen? But something within me encouraged me that God had a hand in what I was going to do. So I approached the ministry. Asked for the big man there. They gave him my complimentary card. Oh, he welcomed me immediately. Now, in those days, the same ministry was rugged from the office of the chief to even our office, the NYC guys. It was rugged. But when I went there, it was a bare cement floor to show you the decay in the land. So here was I and here was the man. I said, sir, I have come to make restitution. I served in this place so number of years. I told him the story. I said, I have become a child of God. And God has convicted me that which I did is wrong. I have brought it. I want you to receive it on behalf of government. Forgive me for what I have done. So as I said this, I went out, brought the rug. My driver carried the rug there. Big rug. Put it on the floor, and the boy left us. I said, this, I am sorry. On behalf of government, forgive me. He got up from his chair, came to hug me. Instantly, we both began to cry. Unknown to me that he was a born-again Christian, worshiping with Reverend Bele Akani. So he told me, I am a brother like you. And then he told me how much that restitution has also affected him. So he prayed for me and then told me that God brought this very timely. Let me see how his office is. But that was how I restituted what I had taken wrongly. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So as we reflect back, you realize that there are times maybe you borrowed a book, either from a library or from a friend, and you didn't return the book. Not to talk about pens. As students, sometimes you borrow a pen and deliberately you forget. Even if every day you remove the pen and you see the man's name there. In those days, we write our names and put inside. How many of you did that? Oh, you too? Oh, I thought it was only me. Okay. You see Benga's name written inside. But every day you are using it, you say you are forgotten. Amen. Amen. So there are things we took from people and pretend we are forgotten. But when you are born again, God speaks to you through your conscience that there is this past of yours that you need to put things right. Another type of restitution is in the area of robbery of tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:8-9. God asked the very big question. He said, will a man rob God? That's a big question. Will a man rob God? Now, the Bible says God is spirit. Okay? Robbery involves violence. Either actual violence or the threat of violence. Who can threaten God? But God calls it robbery. When you steal his tithe, he said it is not stealing. He said you did it by force. That's what the scripture says. He said, ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. A number of times we overemphasize robbing God in tithes, but forget offerings. A man can rob God of tithes as well as offerings. That's what the Bible says. Now, how do we rob God of offerings? Offering is a discretionary amount that you bring to God in sacrifice or in worship. I told you a story here about one of my friends in Jos. Several times I've shared this story. How he went to a church, he had 1,000 notes by the left pocket and had 100 naira notes by the right during offering. When they were singing, he was enjoying the dance. He put his hand, packed all the 1,000 naira notes and dropped in the offering. And as he was going with his wife, he tried to take money to buy something. He didn't see the 1,000 naira notes. He turned to her and said, somebody stole his money in the church. The wife said, stole your money, but I sat beside you. He said, yes. They stole all the money. How? So they decided to reconstruct events in the church. Did you give offering? He said, yes, he gave offering. What hand did you use? He didn't remember. He was dancing like this, dancing like that. He said, the 100 were by the right pocket. He used the left hand. So he thought he was putting 100 naira notes. And now he gave all the 1,000s. Just imagine you go to church with 20,000 naira notes. 20,000. You remove 200 naira. Does that sound? How does it sound? Hello, somebody. Amen. And sometimes, too, you even, as they are passing the offering basket, you turn your back. The dance is too much. You don't even notice the basket. When the basket has passed, then you turn back. Who understands what I'm talking about? I'm sure you don't do that. It's only me. Hallelujah. Amen. And another aspect of restitution that is required by God is in the area of marriage. In the area of marriage, some men marry more than one. Some two, some three. Some that are ambitious marry up to 8 or 10. Amen? When such a man becomes a believer, has confessed his sins to Jesus, and is born again, God expects him to restitute in the area of marriage. Because Jesus said, in the beginning it was not so. It was meant to be one man, one wife. So all the extra 9, he should be able to resettle them. Just like there are some women. They are not the first wife, second wife, third wife, even the seventh wife. But they have now received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and they are still in a marriage. God expects you to restitute. The man is not your husband. In the morning, my sister said restitution is a difficult teaching. It's a teaching that people don't like. But unfortunately, it tells about the truth of the gospel. So we ought to restitute in the area of marriage. You see that in Genesis 21, 9 to 14. Genesis 21, 9 to 14. Genesis 25, 5 to 6. Then the fourth area, which is the area of our focus this morning, is in the area of human relationship. Restitution in the area of human relationship. Now, in the course of interacting one with another, sometimes we offend one another. We offend one another. And in the course of which sometimes we damage relationships. There are many examples. Number one example, sometimes we'll tell lies or bear false witness against someone. We say things about what he has not done, and he suffers punishment or suffers damage as a result of what we have said that is untrue. A classical example of this in the Bible is found in Genesis 39, verse 12 to 20. Genesis 39, 12 to 20. The story of Potiphar's wife. She accused Joseph of attempting to commit adultery with her. How many of us remember the story? Hallelujah. Joseph did not do that. It was she who attempted it. But she lied against the young boy. When her husband returned from work, she told him what Joseph had allegedly done. What happened? The man put Joseph in prison. Now, she did not only damage his reputation, she also caused him to spend time in prison to suffer punishment for what he didn't do. Now, as you reflect back, you will see that there are times some lies may have been spoken against someone that has hurt him or hurt her, that you know within you that it is not true. Yet you said it. And such a person suffered hurt or suffered loss. The Lord requires that such relationship should be mended. You mend it by restituting. Another example of restitution in the area of human relationship is in the area of broken promise to marry. And many of us men are guilty of this. You see a young girl, you know within you that you are not going to marry her because you don't want her to pay attention to any other man. You tell her you will marry her. You even go forward to give her something as bride price. But inside you, you know that this is not real. Every other man that comes her way, she says no. Because Brother Jide has indicated that he will marry her. And meanwhile, Gideon knows in his heart that even if they kill him, he will not marry her. Only for her to hear that Jide is marrying Chidimma. Hallelujah. You can imagine the hurt, the pain, the agony that she will live with. If we have committed such, we need to restitute. Our general overseer told us a story, a testimony of a young military officer that promised a girl to marry. And then he jilted her. He refused to marry her, went and married someone else. Years later, another military officer came and married the same girl. Not long after, there was a military coup. The first military coup. The officer that jilted this girl became the ADC to the man that married her. How many of us listened to that testimony from the GO? Oh, thank God there is a testimony. So every day the woman will go out, the former boyfriend will open the door of the car and give her a salute. She will sit back in the car and say, "Thank you, Jesus." Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we must be careful when we are dealing with others, never to make promises that we know we can never fulfill. And in the morning, the pastor also spoke in the area of pregnancy. Some men in the course of relationship impregnate girls or girl and refuse to take responsibility, deny it, abandon the girl and abandon the child. And you leave the woman and the child with a hurt that in life they never get over. And now you have become born again. Yes, all things are passed away, that is true. But you have hurt someone. God expects you to go make restitution. Why? Because there is the risk of what they call the law of harvest. Galatians 6, 7. He said, God cannot be mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You do that to someone's child, one day you will be a father too. Somebody may do that to your daughter, and how would you feel? Another area, even still in the area of relationship, is you take somebody's child, daughter. You have not paid the right price. You have not married her. She's living with you, giving birth to children. And you tell your neighbors she's your wife. Everybody calls her Madam this, Mrs. this. But every day you say, my wife, God shakes his head. Because he knows that you are lying. You never married her. Except you restitute and make amends, you run the risk of the law of harvest. One day too, someone will come take your beloved daughter and run away with her. Then you will realize the mistake you made. Now, back to the text we read in Luke chapter 15. We see there a story of a man. Jesus spoke a parable of a man having two children, two sons. The youngest boy wanted freedom. He wants to experience life, comfort. He goes to the father. He waited for the father to die, and the man didn't die. Every year he waits. When will Papa die? Papa didn't die. So, fed up with Papa's longevity for living too long, he comes to Papa and says, Papa, look, I think you should share our inheritance. He said, inheritance? He said, yes. You don't want to be patient till I die? He said, no, daddy, I've waited long. So the man divided the inheritance into two. And said, this is your share. The older son didn't take his share. The young one took his share of the property, and sold them off. Collected the money he made from it. And the Bible says he left for a very far country. Left for a very far country. And in that country, what did he do? He began to live like a big boy. Spent money everywhere they knew him. If he appears in a disco hall, everybody knows him. He goes to Beer Palo, he spends heavily. The money finished. His inheritance was wiped away because of reckless lifestyle. In our human relationships, sometimes we make decisions, we take decisions that are improper. We take decisions that are wrong. We take decisions that hurt others. The boy didn't think about the father's feelings. Which father will be happy for his son to come to him and say, Father, divide our inheritance for me to take my part? Because inheritance is only shared when the man has died. What the child is telling you, in other words, is that, sir, you should have been dead. You should have been. So the boy didn't think about the father's feelings. He didn't think about the shame he brought to the man. He didn't think about what the community would think of him or think of his father. He was thinking only for himself. So sometimes as children, we hurt our parents by choices we make. And sometimes as parents too, we hurt our children by the kind of choices we make. And when we make choices that hurt and injure the feelings, the esteem, the reputation, the name and honor of the family, and we become saved, after salvation, there is restitution. You need to go back and mend things. But thank God for this young man, there was a turning point. There was a turning point. The Bible said hardship, hunger, drove him back to his senses. When money finished, no friends. It's like an Igbo saying, they said, no money, no what? No friend. No money, no friend. When you have money, you will have false friends. Ask any man who is wealthy. Whenever you have money, friends will come like bees attracted to honey. New friends. When you have power, new friends also will come. Unfortunately, this is one of the things that is a problem in our nation. People get political power and suddenly false friends emerge and mislead them. May that not be your portion. Amen. I said, may it not be your portion. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So hardship brought this boy into his senses. No food to eat. And as there was no food, no drink to drink, he began to think about his past. I said, wow, I must have hurt my father. I must have left the man in pains. I did what was not right. I was impatient. My conduct was unbecoming. The words I spoke may have hurt him. And may have hurt him so deeply. I may have disgraced him before the servants. When he asked for his inheritance, the servants were there. Imagine how disgraced the father must have felt. So the boy now realized the wrong he had done and decided that it was time to seek forgiveness for the disgrace he has caused the father. It happens in human relationship. Sometimes we hurt the people we love most so deeply. People that we love so dearly, we hurt them sometimes so deeply. By either the words we speak, by our conduct, by our behaviors. I pray that as we take these teachings, the Lord will open your memories. The Lord will open your hearts. The Lord will cause you to see things that you have forgotten over the years. The Lord will cause you to make restitution, to make repairs, to rebuild relationships that have been destroyed in the name of Jesus. Amen. I told you last Sunday, I shared with you the story of the old woman that I was her pastor. Mama was about 75, 78 years old. She came to me in the vestry. I was then a young parish pastor. She was crying, "Mama, why are you crying?" He said, "Papa beat me." "Papa beat you?" Ah. Papa, who was about 80 plus, could beat you. So while Mama sat there, quickly I began to pray inside me, "Lord, what do I say to this woman?" He said, "Ask her. Ask her, how did she marry him?" So I said, "Mama, this is what I have heard, that I should ask you, how did you marry Papa?" Mama wept them all. I said, "When Papa came back from England, he was a handsome young man. They were lovers. Her father refused her to marry Papa, but that she packed her things and eloped with the man and began to have children, and that they were not legally married. How do you counsel a 78-year-old woman who was not properly married?" I was too young in ministry. But I look back today and ask myself, what would I have done differently? I asked her, "What about your parents?" She said, "Her parents died long time ago." "Did your father have any uncles?" He said, "Yes, but they have all died." "Do you have any brother?" "They have all died." So I couldn't give her any good counsel, but I rather prayed with her and asked God to forgive her. Weeks later, Mama died. If it were today, like I said last Sunday, I would have asked the man to bring her bride price. I would have collected it on behalf of her father and then prayed for them. So you are here today, you are mad, you are staying with a man that is not your husband. Leave the man alone. If he wants to marry you, let him follow the right channel. Let him follow the right channel, so that your life will be blessed by God. Can I hear an amen to that? Now the boy made up his mind. When he realized he had done wrong, he came into reality and then took a decision. Luke 15:18, he said, "I will go to my father." He took a decision. And the Bible says he arose, went to the father. And when he came to the father, he apologized to the father that "I have done wrong against heaven and against you." Restitution. It is not enough to take a decision, but the decisions must be backed with steps. If today God is telling you, "Look, you did wrong, I want to make restitution," back it up with steps. Take action. The Bible says in James 2:20, he says, "Faith without works is what? Dead." Take steps. Take steps. Take steps. He came to his father and said he is no longer worthy to be called his son. What did he mean by that? Number one, he means he is no longer entitled to the rights and privileges of sonship. When you are a son or a daughter, you have rights and privileges. And these rights include rights to inheritance. He has already blown his own part of the inheritance. It includes other privileges. For example, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 11, he said, "You that are evil and you know how to give good gifts, how much more God the Father?" So what you deduce from there is one of the benefits of being a son is that you are entitled to good gifts from your parents. So he said he was no longer entitled to that. He made a public apology. Are you here this day and God is speaking to you that you need to take steps? Be bold to do what is right before God. Now, why do we need to make restitution? I have 7 reasons here, but we'll take 3 or 4 and then entertain questions where possible. Number one, because it is demanded by God and for the reason of making heaven. God demands it, and if you want to make heaven, you need to. Genesis 49, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 49, 1 to 4, media. There the Bible tells the story of Jacob when he was about to die. He called his children and was going to bless them. He began with the tongue of his first child, Reuben. This is what the Bible says. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Verse 2. "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest to thy father's bed, and then defiledest thou it." He went up to my couch. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, Genesis 36 or thereabout, Reuben slept with one of the concubines of his father. The father heard about it and kept it to his heart. But when he was at the point of death, he realized that he needed to make restitution. There was unforgiveness between him and Reuben. So at the point of death, to clear his way with God, he now confronted Reuben. Restitution. If you want to make heaven, you must be prepared to restitute areas that you have done wrong. Daddy told us the story of our first founder, Reverend Akindayomi, Josiah Akindayomi. And many of you may have heard him share the testimony. Baba Akindayomi came across a track, a very good track, and he decided to reprint the track. He was not the writer. He reprinted the track. The writer of the track became aware of what Baba had done. They came, confiscated all the tracks, and burnt it. Baba was very hot. So when Baba time had come for him to die, as Baba would later recollect, he went to the gate of heaven. The angel of God refused him and told him he had a restitution to make. Baba regained consciousness and sent for the man that had offended him and apologized to him. The man forgave him. Then Reverend Akindayomi died. Real story. He had to make his way right with God. Another reason why we need to make restitution is to have a clear conscience before God and man. Acts chapter 24, verse 16, media. Acts 24, verse 16. The need to have a clear conscience before God and man. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward who? God and toward men. God has deposited in the life of every man a conscience, and the conscience serves as a guide. It convicts us when we do wrong. Why? Because God wants us to have a pure heart and a good conscience. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When you have a clear conscience, pure heart, the assurance of the Bible is that you will see God. Is there anyone here that wants to see God? Wave your hand to the Almighty and say, "Lord, I am here." Another reason why we need to make restitution is because restitution restores victory or the presence of God in the life of a believer. It restores victory or the presence of God. You remember the story of the battle of Ai, Joshua chapter 7, verse 4 to 12. Joshua 7, 4 to 12. Joshua 7, 12, 24 to 26. Joshua 7, 24 to 26. The children of Israel had just fought the battle of Jericho. They defeated Jericho. Full of confidence, they went to Ai, a small country. But in Ai, they were defeated and Israel had to flee. Joshua went to God in prayer, "Why did you forsake us?" God told him because they had touched the accursed thing. And that except they restitute, his presence will not go with them. So if you are a child of God and you realize that you are suffering defeat in some areas of your life, think carefully and prayerfully. There may be a need for restitution. Another reason for restitution is that restitution silences the devourer. Malachi 3, 8 to 11. Two types of devourers. One, the one sent by the devil, John chapter 10, verse 10. And then the second, by God. If God is the one that sent the devourer, what do? You restitute and seek for forgiveness. Restitution could also bring healing. If you are sick, prayer after prayer, there is no recovery or answer to prayers. Check your life again. There may be something that God wants you to restitute about. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much." Restitution repairs broken relationships, whether between man and God or between man and man. Are you here this morning? You have not yet given your life to Jesus. Restitution comes only after repentance. After you have repented and are saved, then restitution comes. But if you are here this morning and have not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is the opportunity to come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I repent of my sins." So all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Is there anyone in our midst this morning? You have not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You may raise your hand wherever you are. You want to say, "Lord, I receive you. I want to receive you. I want you to forgive me my sins." Is there such a person in our midst? Any such person in our midst? Any such fellow? Thank you, Jesus. Raise the hand very well so that God sees it. God bless you, my friend there. God bless you. Any other person? Any person again? Please come. I want to pray with you. Come, God bless you, my brother. Any other person? You want to give your life to Jesus? Jesus is calling you. Any other person? My brother, you say the prayer after me, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I confess my sins. I know I am a sinner. I ask, O Lord, that you forgive my sins. Wash it with your blood. Come into my life and be my Lord. Be my Savior. From today, I will follow you. I will serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Father, it is written, whosoever shall come unto you, you will no doubt cast away. Your son has come to you. Please receive him. Forgive him of his sins. Wash the sins away. Write his name in the book of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.